Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, your boy is nice.
Sounded pretty good.
Credit where it's due. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbuamoke. Glee ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we're excited to talk to some great ones today, Jhené, because it's sort of a grab bag day in the world of sports right now. Coming off our first weekend without the NFL. And Jhené, for you, this year you got into fantasy football. You were dialed in with us in the NFL scene. So was it nice to kind of slip back into the warm embrace of the NBA being center stage for your first post-NFL Sunday?
Not really. I kind of do miss football. I miss the National Football League. I can't believe I'm saying this. And I do miss that first weekend when you guys didn't tell me, Jhené, when you sit down at 10 a.m. Pacific time, you're not going to stand up until about 8 p.m. And I was like, wait, why didn't y'all tell me there's no breaks? There's no intermission when it comes to football. I do miss it now.
It is amazing how much a part of our lives that becomes, that one-day ritual every year that was instead replaced by so many people by the Daytona 500 that took roughly 500 hours yesterday to try and finish, which we can get into at some point. But as we found life after football and tried to adjust back to it, we got a rude awakening in the world of the NBA because we had news coming out of Los Angeles, where everyone has been focused on the Lakers, certainly because they're one of the best teams in the NBA. They're a team that everyone expects to compete. But now Anthony Davis, who was coming into this game last night after missing some games, dealing with an Achilles injury here, not anything full-on serious, but Jhené, as someone who has recovered from an Achilles injury, and now we're waiting to see how long and how much time Anthony Davis might miss with this injury, I think this is the first real, outside of the trade for James Harden in Brooklyn, seismic event that we could have in the league, because this is one of the best, if not the best teams in the league, that may be without one of their stars for an undisclosed amount of time.
Yeah, I can see why this has been an interesting situation for them to figure out, just because he comes into a game not too long ago, and even after dealing with the soreness of his Achilles, he drops 35 points in 35 minutes. And so they're like, oh, is he okay? Is he good? He'd been wearing a special sleeve that sort of keeps his Achilles and his lower extremities warm. And then he sits out because of soreness, and then he comes back in. And I'm glad that they have at least said, hey, we need to take this seriously. Forcing, you know, the issue of having an MRI, and the information that we've been getting so far all over ESPN is maybe not necessarily the Achilles, but the sheath, which is around it. But still, if it's an injury potentially that maybe needs an extended amount of rest and, you know, best case scenario, a few games, even possibly a month, this is interesting because now I feel like the gate is open for other teams that maybe felt like, oh, the Lakers, they have so much talent. They have continuity coming off of last season. They have LeBron James, who's putting up peak LeBron James numbers on less minutes. Maybe now it's not just, you know, written in the stars that the Lakers repeat. I think a lot of people around the league are probably saying, oh, they might be vulnerable, because at the end of the day, the only thing that could stop the Lakers is health. And right now, this is probably a very serious situation that we're all monitoring when it comes to Anthony Davis.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because their title hopes were the exact thing that came up today on First Take. And Stephen A. Smith, co-host of First Take and Stephen A.'s World on ESPN Plus, didn't mince words when he talked about what this injury means for the team going forward.
LeBron will be just fine. He'll be there when it counts, but he needs AD. And without AD, the Lakers have no chance of winning the championship. And if the Lakers have no chance, then who the hell is going to beat Brooklyn? That answer is absolutely, positively no one.
So, Jhené, let's start there. When it comes to this injury now, who does this put at the top of the heap? Do you agree with Stephen A. Smith that this now makes Brooklyn the top dog in the league?
It's so unfair. It's so unfair, the fact that you have the Utah Jazz of the world doing exactly what they need to do to be able to now be number one in the ESPN power rankings. You have the Philadelphia 76ers, who have found some bumps in the road but have made improvements. It's not fair that, yeah, the case is the Brooklyn Nets are probably the team to beat now, you know, given the health situation of Anthony Davis. And I will say this, if I'm the Lakers, what I'll 100% be telling, you know, the locker room, if I'm Frank Vogel, is, look, this is exactly why we made these offseason moves. This is exactly why we chose to go faster, more explosive, and most importantly, younger with the moves. You know, even even though it's tough to look at like Dwight Howard's situation, JaVale McGee's situation, you look at exactly what they have. Young talent by the name of Montrezl Harrell, who they got to, you know, flip City Edition jerseys. They've got Dennis Schroeder, and you even extended Kyle Kuzma, and on top of that, you can throw KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope into that. You got this young core, and now I feel like everyone is forced to step up in AD's absence. We'll see if they'll be able to do that, but still, the way that they're currently constructed, LeBron James having an MVP season, which is great, but still, compared to the Brooklyn Nets, what their potentials are, because we've seen them step into big primetime moments versus the Clippers, versus the Warriors, and handle their business. It's when people don't really care, you know, the under 500 games that, like, they tend to play down to competition. So it's unfair, but it is true that the Brooklyn Nets, you have this overwhelming sense that, all right, they have enough veterans. You heard sound, which we'll get to later in our show, from Kyrie saying, like, all right, we're trying to define our roles. This is the team to beat in the playoffs, even if it's their first year all being together. But all eyes right now are on LA, and all eyes are, you know, pretty much watching and waiting to see whether, you know, how serious of an injury this is for Anthony Davis. And that whole prognosis can sort of change the outlook of an entire season.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And this is a season-altering injury. And this, quite frankly, Chinee, Anthony Davis, now we don't know how long he's going to be out, how aggravated this is. We're waiting for the MRI results to kind of paint a picture of what's going on. But this seems like exactly what LeBron James and others were afraid of when they protested about the season starting too early, getting back around Christmas Day, when they brought up losing out on that rest time for the NBA All-Star game, potentially. All the things that we've heard in the NBA really in the last 5 or so years about the health benefits and the health dangers, I should say, of more back-to-backs, jamming too many days, games into too many days. Now we're wading into the unknown of playing seasons so close together. And for the team that went the furthest, them in Miami, in that bubble season, this had to be exactly what was in the back of their minds, is we don't know how the bodies of our key players are going to respond in this situation. And now the early returns are exactly what they were fearing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you brought in a greater point here that, you know, it's the hard things to talk about, but it is the reality. That's the hard thing about having two seasons that sort of have been wrapped in one, especially for teams that were in the bubble. We're in a situation where Kevin Durant, after dealing with COVID protocols, now is dealing with a hamstring injury. Anthony Davis, we're checking on his Achilles and hopefully following that news throughout the course of the day. Kawhi Leonard, I believe, has a leg contusion. And then we're looking at a Damian Lillard-led Portland Trailblazer team without CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic, who have been sidelined with injuries. So, like, it is a scary prospect that this is one of the things that teams have to manage. And most notably now it's the Lakers too.
And that's the biggest thing, is we didn't want to see this become as much of the story. There were already going to be so many complications having to operate a season outside of the bubble. And now you compound it with this, all the added stress that we've seen on these players. So what are the long-term effects of this going to look like? We'll get to talk to our ESPN NBA insider and reporter Dave McMenamin in a little bit to get the latest from Los Angeles, try and figure out what they can do and how they can maybe address what happens now. Is there something to be said for bringing in outside help? Or, like Chinee said, is this exactly what you built this team for in this offseason? Reminder to tune in tonight. College basketball action as Florida State hosts Virginia. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. But coming up next, we got great advice as we get ready to head into the NFL offseason, the quarterback carousel that's been coming up here, from a friend of the show who once said,
"Know the animal you're hunting."
So coming up next, let's get to know the animal of J.J. Watt and where he should be hunting next in his NFL career, from a all-time pass rusher who knows a little thing or two about that. We'll get to it next here on Chinee Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
J.J. Watt, he's being released by the Houston Texans.
I mean, he's long in the tooth. This was probably going to happen.
I didn't expect a release. I thought they would trade him.
He's going to have multiple suitors. I'm going to start with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers, Tennessee Titans, Buffalo Bills. Last one, let's go Baltimore Ravens.
Chinee Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Looks like the offseason carousel in the NFL, not only for quarterbacks. J.J. Watt released last week. And now we still sit and wait to try and see where he ends up. It's Chinee Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinee Igwumike hoping to get in touch with Dwight Freeney, future Hall of Fame pass rusher, longtime Indianapolis Colts spin move aficionado, and the author of one of our favorite quotes around here. A reminder, when you are getting ready to attack quarterbacks, too.
Know the animal you're hunting.
Fires us up in a way few things can, Janae.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, when do I enter that mindset? And it's easy for me when I'm in the WNBA, know the animal you're hunting. That takes me to like scouting reports and know exactly who I'm attacking. How about you? Like, when you hear that, where do you go?
Well, at this point, Janae, I don't have like a sports outlet for these kind of things. And so for me, it's kind of like know the animal you're hunting show-wise. Like earlier today, I got to pop over and hang out with the folks on Highly Questionable, which was very fun. I appreciate them having me. And I had to know, all right, this show a little bit different than doing the radio show, a little bit different than doing something like Outside the Lines. And so that meant I got to make poop jokes on that show. That's essentially how I knew the animal I was hunting.
Okay, I watched two. You know this because I FaceTime you out of excitement. I watched maybe 2 minutes before I FaceTime you, and it was like a tease about a coach that was naked. And I was like, what are you talking about, Junior? What was that? Excellent tease, by the way.
Thank you. No, listen, I appreciate it. Sex sells. I know that even applies to something like sports. But yeah, Janae, it's just a reminder, as we saw, I believe it was Arkansas got a big-time win over Missouri. It was a top-10 win. And their coach came into the locker room celebrating with his shirt off. And I just said I was proud that he came back in and still had his pants on, because there is nothing that you can't unsee, quite like the sight of your coach naked, which in a locker room, I can't take these things for granted anymore, Janae.
Very true. Great assessment and great analysis. And I'm very proud of you. I wanted to be the first one to say it, but I'm glad you did. Highly Questionable debut, Michael Jr. You did excellent.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate the support as always. Try to make sure everyone comes on back here to Janae Golic Jr. Now, it doesn't look like we're going to get to talk to Dwight Freeney at this point in time. Oh, just kidding. We're going to here in a second here. Things are changing on the fly, but I am fascinated, Janae, about getting his perspective on not only what we're getting ready to see with the quarterbacks this offseason, because we've got some Dak Prescott Instagram news that we've been able to mine.
We're there.
It's an unbelievable 2021 way to get information, where we sit around, and it started off, Janae, we kind of joke about it, but it started off as things like the Players Tribune, where players could kind of take their story into their own hands. Mm-hmm. But we often see social media become a place like it was for Dak Prescott, where in his own words, he can come out here and kind of echo that thought of, I'm the one that wants to be here. The problems have been on the other side.
You know what's so annoying? Dak Prescott is so wholesome. So wholesome. Most people go to social media to vent, to be emotional, to subliminal message. And if you guys hear subtweets, that's subliminal tweets where you're tweeting about something, but you don't name it. But Dak's like, no, really, I'm good. Like, hey, guys, I'm trying to be back. Like, everything that you'd hope if you're rooting for him to be your quarterback, he's doing that via social media. And that's so rare, so refreshing, even though we're out here trying to rock for you, bro. So, you know, I don't know if you have to always do that, but I'm going to stand behind you.
Listen, I was going to say, we're going to try to have your back. You're right, though. It is very Dak Prescott. And that's the difficulty I think him and Deshaun Watson are going to find here, is they're not good at being bad guys, because they're not bad guys by all accounts. They're very good guys. And so how we make sense of those situations, as well as how we find the next home for J.J. Watt, are all questions we want to ask our next guest. And we're delighted now to be joined on the Goodyear Hotline by former NFL defensive end Dwight Freeney with us here on the show. And Dwight, I am curious, because you were a longtime defensive end, 10 years with the Indianapolis Colts. And then after that, you made your departure and you started with the San Diego Chargers, the Cardinals, the Falcons. But that first jump from a team you've been with for a long time, like J.J. Watt's dealing with now, what was your thought process in making that next decision in your career?
Oh, man, it was a tough one for me, because, you know, I wanted to stay in the, with the Colts throughout my entire career, and they pretty much called me like 2 days before my birthday. I thought I was going to get an early birthday wish. Happy birthday. Yeah, I got a real happy birthday. Hey, you're going to be no longer with us on our team. So for me, I just said, you know what, man? I want to go to a place. I want to continue to play this game. I love this game. I want to end this on my terms. So I got switched to an outside linebacker mysteriously that year, which I'm not an outside linebacker. I'm a defensive end. So all the outside linebackers teams, like the Chargers, decided to come up. And, you know, we had Tommy Telesco. He used to be at the Colts. He decided he wanted me. So I said, you know what, screw it. I go play with Phillip and Gatesy and, and Antonio Gates, and have some fun in San Diego with weather 75 and perfect. You know, just to play the game that I love to play,
Oh, I think we appear to have maybe lost Janae in this one. And
man, the story was just getting good.
Oh, nope, we got you there. Janae, you back? Oh, all right, we appear to have lost sound on Janae right now. And so, Dwight, we'll stick with you here on Janae and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr. and efforting Janae Agumake now. But you mentioned doing what you could to continue your career. J.J. Watt, been a longtime pass rusher and a great one in this league. What do you think he still has left from what you've seen of him in recent years to offer a team right now?
I think it's all about system. And if you can go to a place to where as though he can still be J.J., right? You know, and as long as he can be able to rush the passer, you know, be able to have a two-way go, you know, when he needs to, that is where he's at his best. All right. And I think system matters a lot, especially when you get older in your career, because it's really hard to teach an old dog new tricks. You know, so I think wherever he wants to go, you know, I'm rooting for him to go to the Steelers to play with his brother. Be outstanding. It'll be exciting. But you know, wherever he decides to go, as long as they let him do him, he'll be good.
Dwight Freeney with us here on Janae and Golic Jr. on the Goodyear Hotline. And certainly Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Cleveland, all teams that have been floated around there. But the brother thing is hard to ignore in that. But Dwight, we also know this offseason is going to be a lot about quarterbacks. And we saw Dak Prescott active on social media indicating that he wants to be back, by all accounts, with the Dallas Cowboys. Do you see them being able to make this work, Dwight, with all the difficulty they've had trying to get him signed to a long-term deal?
Well, I mean, I hope so for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, they need a marquee guy at that position, and they have one. He's sitting right there in front of them. And I think, you know, they need to basically do what they need to do, you know, to take care of Dak, because Dak did everything he was asked for and more. You know, yeah, he didn't win a Super Bowl, but there's a lot of other teams and players that hadn't done that. For what he has done, he deserves to be paid up there. If the numbers are comparable, he needs to be paid comparable. So whatever that is, you know, Dallas, you got a guy right there in your hand. You know, go ahead and do what you need to do.
Amazing how many teams we're seeing right now fumble the bag when it comes to premier quarterbacks in this league, the thing that we are all searching for and the thing that every team is searching for. Dwight Freeney, kind enough to give us some time here today. And Dwight, I know you came and joined us last time and you're here this time on behalf of something pretty cool. What can you tell us about what you're working on?
Yeah, man. So me being retired, having not much to do, right? I decided, you know what, I'm all about community and trying to find ways to get people together. And the best way you can do that right now is virtually. So I decided to kind of go back to my roots. You know, I used to be a big gamer growing up. All right. So, you know, obviously that stopped when I started playing. So now I'm retired. So now I'm going to do a tournament with Generation Esports. They're one of the biggest people out there, groups out there that throw these tournaments. And it's going to be a Madden tournament, March 1st. All right, so if you wanted more information about it, just follow any of my social media handles. And it should be an exciting time. We'll have players from different sports, golfers, basketball players, former football players, current football players, and a bunch of others. You know, go out there and show your skills. You know, it should be a good time.
Awesome stuff. Everyone, make sure you follow Dwight on social. Check out for more information on that. Again, 7-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champion Dwight Freeney, kind enough to join us here. Dwight, we appreciate the time, and we will talk to you again soon, all right?
Thanks, Dwight.
All right, man. You got to take care, all right?
Awesome. Thank you very much. But let's stick with what we were talking about with Dwight. Does Dak actually want to be a Cowboy, and is that the story we're going to stick with right now? Pun fully intended. What they need to fix next here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake were presented by Progressive Insurance. And Janae, we wouldn't be the millennial show in the ESPN Radio lineup if we weren't talking about news that we found out on Instagram. That feels like our lot in life.
that is our specialty here at ESPN. Like, for us being the young ones, the millennials, the ones in these social media streets, this is our bag, ladies and gentlemen, and let's tap in. What happened?
Yeah, so let's make sure we get everyone caught up to speed on this. So, on Instagram, where we can now get compelling news, it's like in college when your professor tried to tell you that you couldn't cite and source Wikipedia, they were lying. You can.
But actually,
it is reputable, and we did. And so what happened over this weekend was Dallas Cowboys tight end Blake Jarwin shared an Instagram post of himself and Dak Prescott hugging on the field, great shot of those two, and said his comment was, hey, you want to run it back in a few months. Dak, being a young man savvy enough to put this in his Instagram story, posted it there with the caption, that's the only way I see it. So, Chinee, hearing this, seeing him communicate the millennial love language of Instagram, do you think this is a good sign for the Cowboys that Dak Prescott is not slighted by that failed hype video that you put out before?
Yeah, I think he wants to be Dak better than ever, right? Back and better than ever. Okay, I think this is good because you remember not too long ago when we had our big brother, Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, co-host of NFL Live, join us and talk about the Dak situation, which he's plugged into largely because of his time, you know, with the Cowboys himself. He was like, this man loves the Cowboys and he wants to be the Cowboys quarterback. But the problem here is just the back and forth. And I think it's what we found out lately on ESPN especially is that it's all coming down to years and the time where Jerry wants more years, but Dak probably wants a little bit shorter. I think what we're seeing is the person that Dak Prescott is, the person that a lot of people in Dallas have come to love, the person that had one of the most productive seasons before he got injured this past NFL season. And so I understand this probably more personally coming off of injuries. You sort of want that security and the stability, and it's hard to start fresh and new, especially given the chip on your shoulder after having to prove to people that you're just as good, if not better, than you were before. So all of the writing on the wall points to Dak Prescott wanting to be a Cowboy. It just now is, what are the Cowboys doing based on their past histories to rectify the situations and make a smart move moving forward?
Yeah, I think this becomes the really interesting part is this a situation that's going to need a lot of fixing? Because it seems weird we're still asking questions about it based on where we are. Things haven't changed all that much since the end of the season on this front. We know they're probably going to go forward and put the franchise tag on Dak for a second time now, which would be just under $38 million, and give themselves that long window to negotiate a long-term deal. When it comes to the kind of money we might be thinking about in that, our ESPN NFL reporter Ed Werder was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and outlined what it's looking like money-wise-ish for Dak Prescott.
The numbers I hear for Dak are he's going to want 3 years and $40 million average. So $120 million for 3 years. Remember, the breakdown ultimately was over the length of the contract. Dak wanted 4 years. The Cowboys refused to offer anything less than five. And to me, that was the biggest mistake in the whole thing at the very end was, how do they not see 4 years of control over Dak Prescott being better than having 1 year of control over Dak Prescott? And then they pay him this enormous amount, $34 million, to play on the franchise tag, and they don't even get value out of that because he gets hurt for the first time in his career and only plays five games. So I think Dak has an enormous amount of leverage in this situation. Is Jerry willing to walk away from the deal? Is Jerry going to refuse to pay $40 million to a quarterback? He could. He's the owner and he's the general manager. He's spending his own money in this deal, unlike everybody else in the league.
Chinee Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and that's
good
a
reminder.
It's a great point to always consider on this while we play with everyone else's money in this spot. But Chinee, I just don't, and Jerry said it out loud. Now, I think part of that was a ploy in saying that Dak Prescott has all this leverage because all they have left to do is give him what he wants right now. As you go into this offseason where your team got exposed last year for having a lot of other holes that you need to fix, do you really want the biggest hole in football now all of a sudden, one you're willing to open up and let walk out the building to greener pastures? I don't think so. I think you have to sign him to the deal that he wants around that market-setting value, and then I think you've got to spend the next 3 years hoping he continues to play like this and trying to make good and damn sure he wants to stay with you longer than that if that's the case and mend those fences.
Yeah, Junior, can you sort of take me into Jerry land where maybe, like, I'm looking at the landscape of the entire sports world where top dollar goes to top athletes, but it seems like they're, especially within this franchise, it's harder for Jerry Jones to sort of understand that, especially from the value position right now with Dak versus what most people are doing with other quarterbacks right now, shooting their shot, landing top tier guys and competing. Because it just doesn't make sense in my head.
No, it's a luxury, and it's not quite Green Bay Packers level of embarrassment of riches, but you went from Tony Romo being statistically successful for you for a long time in that franchise, even if it didn't net you as much winning. You had an answer there, and then you got another answer you weren't expecting on in the fourth round with Dak Prescott. And now you've become, I think, accustomed to that and looked around. I don't know anything about internally in the Cowboys, but I know the way they structured deals and the way they chose to give out money to these other positions. They thought that you could put someone else in there and replicate the success that Dak was having, or else they wouldn't have spent all that money on those surrounding pieces. They bet wrong and they lost. And now the only thing to do is to just try and cauterize the wound and stop bleeding out all over the place, or you risk becoming the Houston Texans, a team that has gone so far above and beyond trying to fumble the bag and screw up a good thing at the quarterback position.
So basically less is not basically more if you're the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. Yeah. Not at this point. Yeah, and less is not more, bro.
That's the weird part. Less has never been more for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. That's a more is more organization.
Don't make sense. But we're trying to make sense of things that don't make sense.
No, exactly. But you know what? That's actually a good segue into what I want to get into next here. Because coming up, we're going to try and make sense of what's going on in Brooklyn, as they may, because of injury, have found themselves as the top dog. But is that all because they've got a new point guard in the building?
Oh.
We'll get to that after this word from Indeed.
Oh my gosh, you're just making me so happy. I'm hearing point guard. I'm hearing top dog. Well, guess what, guys? With Indeed, there's no waiting for real results like we probably will see very soon in Brooklyn. Indeed helps you find quality candidates instantly with Indeed Instant Match. So pretty much, Indeed is where the money resides. So be there. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to deliver great candidates who fit your job description immediately. With Indeed Instant Match, 80% of employers get quality candidates right when they sponsor their job. So it's no wonder Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Claim your $75 credit towards your first upgraded post at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply. As he said, my co-host, where Brooklyn at? Kyrie Irving gave us huge insights into the Brooklyn Nets and where James Harden fits into the equation. Kyrie's talking right after this on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come look at us on ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinua Achebe, and some incredibly sad news coming across the wire right now. The Hillsborough County in Florida, the sheriff's office there, said Monday it's investigating the death of former NFL wideout Vincent Jackson. 38-year-old Jackson was found dead at approximately 11:30 a.m. on Monday today in Homewood Suites in Brandon, Florida. Police said there were no apparent signs of trauma, and the Hillsborough County Medical Examiner's Office will determine the cause of death. According to the hotel staff, Jackson, who is a South Tampa resident, checked into the hotel on January 11th and had been staying in a room since that date. Jackson's family reported him missing on Wednesday, and a formal report was filed Thursday, but police found Jackson at the Homewood Suites on Friday. The missing persons case was canceled after Jackson's well-being was checked. And Chanae, obviously a lot more questions than answers at this point, but just seeing a name that so many of us were familiar with, it certainly as a pro football player and as a public figure, but a 38-year-old man now gone in the blink of an eye, impossibly sad.
Completely sad, and I think that's exactly where my heart first goes to. 38 years old, it's really scary. I know we're dealing with a lot as a society, but also hearing this news story, it breaks your heart. And so, you know, I hope that his family is well, and I mean, hopefully there will be some answers, but most importantly, peace for his loved ones.
Yeah, I saw Lewis Riddick, our ESPN front office insider, just tweeted out, you know, it's a good reminder to check on your people right now. There's a lot of stress that a lot of people are under right now for all of the normal life reasons, for all the pandemic reasons, and you just never know at any given moment, and it is an unfortunate and completely sad reality. So again, Vincent Jackson, former NFL wide receiver, found dead this morning at the age of 38. We will get you more information on that as it becomes available to us right now. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chanae Achebe, and there's no clever way to get back into anything that we wanted to talk about, but we thought it was important to update you on something that severe. And so, Chanae, as we turn our attention back to the NBA, to the world of sports, I think The Brooklyn Nets are now going to come into a different kind of focus in the NBA because of the injury last night to Anthony Davis, waiting to see his long-term prognosis and what that Achilles looks like for him. But with the Brooklyn Nets now, Chiné, the move that they made, Kyrie Irving coming out and saying, I told James Harden, you're the point guard in here. How big is that to you from a basketball standpoint and from a larger team standpoint for the squad?
So this is a great thing to know if you're a fan of the Brooklyn Nets, if you care about them succeeding. This is great, exactly what you want to hear. But I laughed the first time I heard it, because the last time we sort of talk about this in common speak, it's like you're a kid growing up. It's like, I'm point guard and you're a shooting guard. You know what I mean? And it's just those funny, nostalgic ways you talk about hoops. But it's necessary at the professional level, and communication is so key. And for us to be privy to the information that they had this conversation where Kyrie said, look, you're going to be point guard and I'm going to be shooting guard. I love it. And the reason why I like it is we now know Kevin Durant, he's dealt with a number of situations last week, COVID protocol situations out of his control. We got free me tweets. And then now he's dealing with a hamstring as well. And I know, given the outlook of the league, where I just said you have an Anthony Davis, a Kawhi Leonard, and a number of others that are dealing with injuries, especially at this, you know, as we approach the midway point in the NBA, they're going to probably be really careful with how they, you know, roll out KD, especially the second half of the season, coming off of his own injury, even though he decimated every doubt you can have coming off of an Achilles. But, you know, hearing this conversation makes me feel good, just because this is what they need. James Harden is a exceptional talent, or an exceptional talent. And he took a backseat and was known more once he came in Brooklyn as a playmaker. He leads the league currently right now with 11 assists per game. The next guy is two behind. Maybe it's LeBron. I can't remember who. Oh, maybe it's Russell Westbrook. I think he's number two. But, you know, James Harden leads in assists per game. They need more offensively from him. They thought that was probably going to be good enough if he gives you about 20 points, leads us in assists. Kyrie's doing his thing, KD's doing his thing, but it's not, especially with KD out. And so putting the ball in his hands, literally giving him the rock on every possession intentionally, is going to get him going. And I feel like they're doing the right thing, because you don't want to waste his talents. He's being a good teammate. He's stepping to the side, but also you want him to feel like every game he can attack and be just as successful as Kyrie and KD. And so I think this was the right move. And despite what, and I know you're going to go here, because what we heard from Kyrie was, oh, I've never had to defer until it came to Kevin Durant. All right, we all know he was just talking. The reality is he deferred pretty well when it came to the Cleveland Cavaliers and playing alongside LeBron James, where LeBron could get the rebound, push and go, and dictate the tempo of the game and mediate that. And he took over when necessary, would grab a rebound and, you know, push when he felt the rhythm. So I feel like this is a great conversation that will be critical for the Brooklyn Nets' success in the long term, because now they have established roles. And more importantly, you've given James confidence to feel like, all right, like, I can go off too, instead of taking a backseat and being that guy that makes plays.
And I think that's huge. And I think that's what we saw happen in Golden State when Kevin Durant got there. You saw enough Steph Curry humility to be able to say, we need to get this guy going and get him comfortable in all this. And you're right, the basketball love language of instilling confidence and comfort is to let this guy bring the ball up and be able to dictate control of that. And for Kyrie Irving, who I think his biggest problem had been too much leadership at times post-Cleveland, going to Boston, having that butting of heads with some of the younger players there, for him to be able to defer, I think, is a huge development for them. And is going to be, I think that's one of the biggest hurdles cleared for this game, who now again finds themselves called by many the favorite because of what happened with Anthony Davis. And we just got an update from our own Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA insider. Anthony Davis will be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks after suffering a calf strain, sources tell ESPN. So we'll get more update on that as we go along here. But again, Anthony Davis, 2 to 3 weeks after suffering a calf strain. Now, the college basketball season's heating up, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees, like Florida State's Scotty Barnes and Stanford's Haley Jones.
Yeah.
What's up as the season rolls along? The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. But coming up next, as we get back on the quarterback carousel of the offseason, we'll try and figure out why it's so tough for one bird to leave the nest. Next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chiné and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.